Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
And we are here off the heels of Payback. Backlash, rats. Like, wow. I paused to think about which one it was, and I still messed up. That's what it's stupid, generic.
Yeah, not good job on that.
And I hate these pay-per-view titles.
Well, what you could blame it on is that we now live in a post Jinder Mahal winning WWE Championship world.
Plus, he is the 50th.
He is champion. The 50th champion.
Had to go to somebody.
Sure. And it was him.
Uh-huh.
Now, okay. There's plenty of other things that happened before this.
Yes.
But that's the big
news. But apparently we're working backwards this week. We're working backwards this week.
I can't even come up with a joke headline to talk about before this because it's a hot button issue. I'm okay with it from a story. Like, he's not any less deserving than a lot of the people who've won the championship in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with people like one of the Adams on What Culture, who basically made it sound like it was just the end of professional wrestling. Like, this belt means nothing to them because they gave it to a jobber, the guy who was just jobbing like months before that. I'm like, okay, then these are the same wrestling fans that complain that, you know, oh, they keep so-and-so under, you know, right. But just because they elevate somebody that they don't personally like. Like, I thought that's kind of what it felt like to me. Like, I'm not a fan of Jinder Mahal. Like, I don't like his in-ring style, and I personally think he's a boring promo. But, I mean,
I will say,
it's not burning the house down, yeah. Essentially.
So if you had asked me, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, how do you feel about Jinder Mahal in-ring, his in-ring ability? I must have been, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have a strong opinion one way. I still don't have a strong opinion one way or the other.
No.
He is not. He has neither impressed me or insulted me.
Right.
I mean, he, you know, does these moves, runs these ropes. He hasn't, you know, done anything that I'm like, that other wrestler should be fearing for their lives, mm-hmm. which is a big plus in my book.
Sure. No, absolutely.
So, yeah, fine. In that case, fine. I will say that during the 3MB run, right when they just like cut loose and did it for about like 3-4 months.
Yeah.
Pretty entertaining.
Sure, but he was also not really the strong link for them, like even from an entertainment standpoint.
I think he was pretty entertaining.
And it was mostly Heath Slater.
No, it was 100% like Heath Slater.
And then
Slater
like
was
Drew McIntyre had a moment.
Pack.
Yeah.
But I think him and Drew McIntyre both, and like they weren't hitting it out of the park. They weren't on the show every week, but they weren't hitting it out of the park every week
mm-hmm.
the way Heath Slater was. But they both definitely had some shining moments.
Sure.
That being said, no, I'm not bouncing off the walls that Jinder Mahal is champion. But I don't like. I don't have complaints about it.
No.
And I'm a little surprised at the level of complaints that there are.
Yeah, again, like, it just went from 0 to 11, like, incredibly quickly. Like it felt like everyone just like, the world is ending right now, just because Jinder Mahal is a champion. I'm like, he's probably going to be a transitional champion.
Mm-hmm.
And probably is going to lose the belt the moment there's a Money in the Bank winner.
Yeah.
You know, or pretty soon thereafter. Because, you know, they don't like having a Money in the Bank briefcase holder for too long.
No, they really
typically.
Don't.
Granted, we've seen, like, in the last couple of years, we've seen, like, the longest.
Yeah. Well, usually once they started having two, one would get cashed in right away,
right.
And then one would be held
right.
onto for 6 months or so.
Because two is apparently too much for the human
yes.
brain to
wrap. It's too confusing. I can't
yeah.
handle that.
Sure. Like, clearly it's a transitional champion, and they're going to build somebody else up to take it away from him. But in the meantime, build up a pretty solid heel because SmackDown kind of needs it.
Right.
SmackDown needs a good heel.
Well,
and granted, you know, he's not nearly Kevin Owens level, obviously, but there's very few who are.
And
so why not go ahead and, you know.
We talk about him jobbing a month ago, but I don't remember that. He did, like, yeah, he was, I remember, oh yeah, he was definitely a jobber, but he wasn't like a, one of the, like, he wasn't Santino. It wasn't like a especially bad cartoonish jobber.
Right.
He was just a guy that didn't have a shot. He's not Ellsworth.
Right.
And he isn't supposed to be filling that role.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that he is, like, you know, present and part of the main storyline, yeah, fine. And it didn't happen out of nowhere. Like, we're talking about it happening out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't. This was a main event of a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
There was a build-up. There was back and forth on SmackDown for several weeks. There was a storyline involving the title getting stolen. Right. Like, this was a, this is how you yeah. build up a, you know, new champion.
Mm-hmm.
This, I don't know, it's like we're acting like this happened at the end of a SmackDown randomly.
Right, just out of nowhere. And again, and don't, just, and not, obviously I'm not talking specifically to you or mm-hmm. anything, but don't act like the WWE Championship is some, like, big, like, just distinguished, you know, never tarnished championship. Like, James Ellsworth was like a hair away from
dangerously
winning it,
close to
like
it.
A few months ago. Rey Mysterio was given it for an hour.
Yeah.
You know. You know, you could point at WrestleMania 9 where mm-hmm. they just hand, oh, Hulk Hogan's here. Hand it back to him. Like, literally just hand it to him.
Kept it warm for you.
Right. Like, and there's been so many other cases where it's just like, okay, fine. And then, you know, those titles were held, some of the champions were, you know, pretty good in the ring, but pretty skeezy people, you know, in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, it's not squeaky clean, pristine championship that
the lineage hasn't run clean.
Right.
These past 50 champions.
You know, they threw it on, you know, Brock Lesnar a couple years ago, and he just, you know, he's doing what he's doing with the Universal title now, just yeah. leaving, and it's not on the show anymore.
Rock did the same thing last time he had it.
Right. Oh, yes, this untarnished championship that looked like, you know, a child's necklace for, like, a decade when John Cena changed it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, come on, like, just kind of get over yourselves a little bit. Like, and again, like, I'm struggling to find the right words because I don't want to come to the defense of Jinder Mahal. Because, again, I don't like him. I don't like him as a wrestler, and I don't really like his character. Like,
yeah,
it all feels kind of bland. You know,
well,
now, Grant, and you know, so I feel like I'm like half-heartedly coming to his defense.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm just saying, like, when I'm saying the fans are just overreacting.
My understanding is that they are going for a face in India, heel sure. everywhere else,
and
kind
that,
of thing,
like,
here.
That seemed pretty obvious with the celebration mm-hmm. this past week. And honestly, that was a pretty dope celebration.
Yeah,
like I'll hand it to him.
And
like,
I will
I'll
say,
fully admit that.
If this is a bitter pill for you to swallow, rewatch this with the feed from the commentators from India.
Yes.
They are ecstatic.
Yeah.
It's
pretty intoxicating
yeah.
to listen to. It's incredible. So maybe like the fact that I listen to that, maybe that's, you know, makes me a little bit more prone to defend the
and
decision.
Like, and if that's, you know, the way they're deciding to go is like, let's really try and tap into this indie market, let's have an Indian champion kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, their other option was Kali. And so, like, put every belt on Jinder Mahal, please.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I feel like they half-heartedly tried to do this with Kali back when he mm-hmm. first won the heavyweight championship.
Like, last time they tried this, it was Kali.
And I think he held the championship for, like, maybe a month.
Yeah.
If that. I'm all in favor because, yeah, no, obviously Jinder Mahal is way more versatile as, you know, or, you know, more of a utility mm-hmm. as a wrestler or as a performer than Great Kali. But then again, I can think of, like, mops that are
yeah.
more versatile than
I think if you're going to do that, if you're doing face here, heel everywhere else, that's where you kind of run into sometimes it's bland because you're trying to have your cake and eat it too there.
Right.
In one of the very rare situations where I'm okay with having cake and eating it. Like, all
right,
right nice
sure.
thing to try for. I get why you're trying for that here.
Right. So I'm and again, we're going to run into the situation where you have a quote-unquote weak champion and then a wide-open field with SmackDown, mm-hmm. which, you know, lends itself well to a Money in the Bank, which is, you know, coming up right next. So, in the off chance that he successfully defends his championship against Randy at Money in the Bank, you've pretty much got a wide-open field
right
after that rematch. And I'm okay with that, you know? And again, it adds to the lure of SmackDown being the quote-unquote land of opportunity, which they, you know, they shove that out in our faces as many times as they
time and as time they possibly again, yeah.
can. But, I mean, this is a shiny example of that, mm-hmm. you know? It's like, oh, well, we won't put the belt on Sami Zayn or Dolph Ziggler, but Jinder Mahal.
Well, and again, they reinforce that. This isn't Shane coming out and saying, tonight, Jinder Mahal for the championship, surprise. This is, no. he, you know, at least in storyline, earned his opportunity.
Yeah. Since the moment he won that number one contendership, it's been an ongoing story.
Yeah.
Even when Randy wasn't focused on him, Jinder Mahal was focused on Randy.
And focused on the title.
Right.
And so, I like that. That's all the things we praise SmackDown for, is consistent mm-hmm. storytelling. Right. It's building up matches. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and again, it was a month and a half long build up to a main event of a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. That is how you respect a title.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless of who ends up walking out carrying it, that is how you respect a title, is doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so is there anything else we needed to cover with the Jinder Mahal?
No.
Okay. Another big thing that, since we're already on Backlash, now you got me thinking. Now that we're, you know, we're already on Backlash, we'll talk about NXT too. But the other big thing from Backlash was the tag team championship match.
Yeah.
That was just turned into a pretty funny Fandango or Fan Breezango, whatever.
Yeah, they won me over this one.
They did. They did me too. Yeah.
Like, I think it was last week on the podcast, I was saying, like, I understand why people are getting this. It's not for me, but, like, I'm not going to bash it because I understand where they...
There's no. something...
I'm off my pretentious horse.
Right.
No, they got it. I'm on board.
But speaking of pretentious horse, I could sound really pretentious right now, but there was something about the just Tyler Breeze's just performance as, like, the janitor thing. Like, there's something, just, I don't know, just the look he had whenever he would just, like, he would kind of be in his own world and then look up at everybody else and then mm-hmm. just continuing to mop. Yeah. I don't know, like, I'm not describing it right at all, but there was definitely, like, some subtleties in his performance that really won me over because it just made him that mm-hmm. more comedic.
Yeah. They are figuring out what works for them rather than trying to copy New Day.
Right, absolutely.
I mean, that's the thing.
Right, and because I was a little concerned about that with the whole, you know, Fashion Files thing from the last few weeks, which have been, you know, hilarious and great. But I'm like, this is going to clash with New Day whenever they come up.
Uh-huh.
And then we saw in the match, it's like, well, this feels like their own thing.
It does.
And I'm... like, a little bit part of me, like, well, you know, these guys are really good, and I wish they would make a, like, give them, like, a serious go at it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, maybe this is just how they're going to be.
Yeah.
And honestly, granted, like, they probably aren't going to do that type of match every single time. But, you know, it worked for me, and well, as and long then, as they find a way to keep that fresh.
And then later on SmackDown, they had, you know, a fairly extended sequence featuring these guys.
Yeah.
By and large, the same thing.
Yeah.
But they do look impressive in the ring.
Oh, absolutely. I really like that finish on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Where Fandango didn't know the other Uso had tagged in.
Oh, yeah.
And he did mm-hmm. his big leg drop, and then as soon as he landed that, the other Uso was doing his splash.
Mm-hmm.
It was really well timed.
Yeah.
I really dug that.
So, I was both impressed and charmed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm on board. I see what you guys see right now.
And see, and they did something that I didn't think was possible. In the pay-per-view, where Nakamura has his main roster debut, they had the match that I'm way more likely to go back and rewatch.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Nakamura and Dolph Ziggler, it was a good match. Better than what it was appearing like it was going to be at first.
But let's point out that Nakamura made his main roster debut, mm-hmm. and it's the third thing we're talking about from that show.
And it's me. Uh-huh. You know, like, we know how much of just of a nerd I am for Nakamura. I kind of went in thinking like, well, you know, it kind of like tempered my, you know, my expectations. Like, it's not going to be Nakamura, Sami Zayn. You know, it's not even going to be Nakamura, Joe.
Right.
So it's like, and, you know, it certainly isn't going to be anything he did at New Japan. But honestly, like, the first few minutes, I was kind of like, oh, this is just going to be a straight up and down regular match. And then, you know, Nakamura just kind of, you know, pulls that a little bit extra later on the match to make it a lot better.
But, okay, Nakamura is a wrestler who, I guess the best way to say it, Nakamura is very okay in putting on a 3-star match.
For the
when
majority
he, when he feels like a 3-star match is all it's called for.
Right.
Which...
I give him a lot of merit for that because, you know, if he went tried to go 5-star match every single match, then, you know, it's not going to really feel all that special.
Right.
You know?
But... And it's like, that's not a unique thing to him, but it seems especially glaring to him. And maybe it's because his 5-star matches are so 5-star matches.
Right. Yeah.
But it very much feels like he is not going to put in A+ effort unless it is, you know, specific time for.
Right.
And so, but part of it, like, I thought this would be one.
Yeah, specifically since his debut.
Right.
Match.
To
really, like, showcase
the
casual audience.
Again, like, on SmackDown, they're like, all right, and now for his SmackDown in-ring debut tonight, you know, ready, watch it, get excited. I'm like, I'm not excited about that.
It's a tag match, yeah.
Well, I know that he's going to do his really safe, really standard match, which, just, sorry, I'm not going to turn away, I'm not going to turn it off, but that's not a draw for me.
No. Yeah, you're right.
Just because he can't tell a story like other wrestlers can.
Right.
Not, you know, not including ring work, specifically promo and stuff.
Right.
Like, and to give, you know, nothing to take away, he speaks better English than I speak Japanese, so, like,
sure,
I can't say anything.
Right.
But, and he does incredibly well, and he gets his point across, and he is able to engage, you know, the audience, but on a show where you have the likes of AJ Styles and Kevin Owens, Nakamura is not going to be winning any promo prizes.
Right.
Which is fine. That's not what he's there to do. But that leaves, you know, his match on SmackDown a big fat kind of so what.
Right.
And so I'm a little disappointed that I ended up feeling the same way about his match at Payback.
Backlash.
At Backlash.
Yep.
At Payback, Lash, Back, Pay, Rash, Back, Plow.
Pay Backlash.
Pay Backlash.
There you go. Yeah. I don't know. And then the fact that it was leading off on the night,
mm-hmm.
which, again, like, I understand because, like, you want to get the fans into the show early, and that's a good way to do it. But I don't know. It just didn't quite click to me.
Yeah. And, like, and
I do have a question for you.
Okay.
Has the ship kind of sailed on Dolph Ziggler?
Yeah, it has.
It really, yeah, I feel,
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it so much.
He was like, okay, in a world where all the indie darlings were still in the indies,
mm-hmm.
Dolph Ziggler was a fun change of pace in WWE in those days. But now all those indie darlings are in WWE and they can, like, he doesn't seem as special anymore.
It's not that they can wrestle circles around Dolph Ziggler.
No. But it's just he's like them.
Yes.
And he's not as unique.
And has the disadvantage of not being the new shiny toy.
That too. Absolutely.
Honestly,
I feel like he could use an indie run, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
He and maybe, like, come back better. Like, you know, granted, yeah, he was more, he's definitely more successful than Drew McIntyre was in his original WWE run. Mm-hmm. But look what, you know, that indie run has done for Drew McIntyre and for other, for plenty of other people who've left and come back.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like he could really benefit from it because honestly, I feel like he's treading water right now and has been for a little while.
He is, and he has for a while. And I hate to say it because that was the guy I decided to get behind.
Sure.
All those years ago.
Yeah.
All those years was what, like,
he was, and he was definitely, like, at least in my, you know, my top few.
Mm-hmm. But
we'll never, well, like, it'll, I just feel like it'll never get to that point in that Survivor Series match, you know, with the one where Sting debuted.
Yeah.
Like, that was just as, you know, even with that and, you know, obviously the Money the Bank cash in, mm-hmm. those are just, like, just, it's like, it won't get any better than that.
I do feel that it was a wasted opportunity.
Yeah.
I do think you look at those two specific moments and a couple others, but he did have a specific connection with the audience.
Yep.
He had a resignation. He could have been a top guy, mm-hmm. face or heel.
Instead, they did shortly thereafter, at least from the Survivor Series thing, that they got fired and mm-hmm. then they were gone for a month.
Yeah.
You know, or close to it. And that just killed all the momentum, you know, for him. And Eric Rowan, who just recently turned face, you know.
Yeah.
And he just wasn't able to even get off the platform, you know.
I think some of it comes from that second concussion
yeah.
that he had where he was out for a while.
Right, like right when he won the, right when he cashed in, like a couple weeks later. Yeah.
I think they're very nervous about guys who have shown more than one injury in a certain amount of time.
Right.
Who haven't already made it.
Which makes me really worried about Hideo Itami.
Yes. I am very concerned about Hideo Itami.
Right.
I do not, like, I like him a lot. I mm-hmm. think he's got great potential. But if past
I'm worried about trends, how the office sees him.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah.
Or any indication. But yeah, I think that happened to Ziggler. I think he sells too. Not that he sells too well, but I think him selling well became his calling card to the point where it hindered him.
Right.
And he got to the point where, like, I'm here to see Dolph Ziggler get beat up.
Sure.
I'm very excited. I love him. Sure. I love Dolph Ziggler matches because he gets beat
and
up.
And only that, but he sells everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he oversells a lot.
Yeah.
All the time. And it's like we were saying about Nakamura, about, like, if it was always that 5-star mentality all mm-hmm. the time, it wouldn't be as special. But and that's how Dolph Ziggler sells. He sells 5-star all the time.
Right.
To the point where, like, all right, well, it just makes it seem like you can't take a punch.
Well, it's the kind of thing where, like, that makes me more excited to see a standard Dolph Ziggler match. Dolph Ziggler's wrestling on SmackDown tonight. I'm excited because he's going to pull out all the stops. I like that better.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, why did Dolph Ziggler win that when apparently John Cena has rocket punches?
Yeah.
And yeah, his character's gotten stale.
Yeah.
And it might be he hasn't had an opportunity, but he really hasn't changed it up or evolved it.
No, he's pretty much had the same character since he turned face, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then even as a heel character, it hasn't really changed
much.
He's
just a grumpy version of his face character.
Right. Who really loves 80s hair bands. Like,
yeah.
That's just his character.
Yeah, he's too good at putting over whatever you need him to put over. So that means he's switched a lot because, mm-hmm. you know, not Big Show levels, but he's getting on up there as far as face heel turns because, oh, we need to put this guy over.
Yeah.
Let's get Ziggler. Oh, they're both faces.
And again, he turned face because he was just too popular as a heel
mm-hmm.
to be believable as a heel
yeah.
anymore, you know? And that's a good problem to have. You know,
yeah.
that gives you a lot of fire as a face. But that fire is very, very dim at this point. And I
will say, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. Me too.
I would love to get back on board the Ziggler train.
But he needs something different. Like, he needs a drastic change one way or the other.
He needs a title run. Because he's gone against her. There's no, like, oh, this is the one, you know.
Yeah.
Ziggler and versus honestly, Randy Orton. Oh, now he'll really... No.
No.
Nothing, there's nothing left. There's no guy for him to go up against.
I mean, and honestly, like, that's what gave us a little bit of hope, right, when they did the brand split, because he was the first number one contender on this, you know, on the first SmackDown Live.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, all right, well, maybe here it is. And then, of course, he didn't win the championship then.
Right.
And granted, you know, we were just singing his praises back during his Miz feud. And a Miz feud that ran a little bit too long.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like, and it felt like the bajillionth Miz feud that he's had.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I would...
He needs a main title run.
He needs a main title run.
Just flat out, he needs a main title run to... Because, like, that... Something like that to kind of kickstart and adjust his character.
Yeah.
I don't want to say he needs a character overhaul, because usually when they do that... They go full, like, Funkasaurus on it.
Right.
And he doesn't need something like that. He doesn't need to go away and then...
But he needs a new twist on his character.
Right, exactly. You
know? Kind of like Kevin Owens now is kind of go full tilt on the new face of America thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's still that same Kevin Owens, but this is this new branch that he's splitting off on.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because Kevin Owens is a great example, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, because he has been a face... For his entire heel mm-hmm. for his entire WWE run,
but he hasn't been that exactly the same heel.
No, but he's started off as this is just what I happen to be good at, and this is how I'm paying for my kids' education.
Sure.
So I won't fight this fight because it's not for a championship, and championships make more money. So mm-hmm. like he's very clear about that. Kind of a little mini Brock Lesnar thing. Moved into like Prizefighter KO. Moving into this like American. Face of America, I'm here to bring prestige to America.
Right.
So, yeah, he has evolved this character. Rusev's done the same thing.
Right. But still remaining the same basic character.
At the
core.
Even Miz has done the same thing.
True. Yeah.
He has evolved his same basic character
mm-hmm.
to fit the times, to fit his mm-hmm. evolving status in the company.
Yep. But thank God he did, because I couldn't put up with that faux hawk and that fedora, you know. So were there any other pay backlash? notes that you
I
had?
Mean, no, those were the big ones.
I was this is the first time in a long time in a pay per view where the women's match felt like, oh, it's the bathroom break again,
mm-hmm.
like it did in the, you know, the Divas age.
Yeah,
and that was kind of disappointing, to be honest with you. Now, again, I understand where they're getting at, because they're trying to do, like, you know, a big field that are aiming for the championship, because now we're getting rumors that there's going to be a women's Money in the Bank match,
right?
And that's kind of how you set the field right there. It's like,
mm-hmm.
all right, well, you know, you've got your main two people that are going to be in their own championship match, but then you have all these
everybody
others,
else,
right?
And I get that, and this might just be kind of a growing pains
yeah.
situation to
yeah.
get there, but you need everybody to look qualified, so you don't have any, like, I'm also
you got to yeah, you got to make Carmella look on that level, and you've got Tamina, who's just returning, so you're like, have to remind people that she belongs here, even though I don't think she does, but, you know, that's just me.
Yeah.
And you've got to just, you know, kind of reset in everyone's mind, like, here's the field. They're all
contenders.
They're all main contenders.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, at the same point, it led to a pretty disappointing match. And a match that I didn't care about.
Yeah.
Because you named them the Welcoming Committee. And that's stupid.
See, I like the Welcoming Committee.
I don't like
okay,
it.
Okay. I like the Welcoming Committee if it is done by the end of June. Like,
right.
With the shakeup thing.
Right.
And here's the new, and they're all SmackDown.
But as soon
quote
as they.
Unquote, alumni. Yeah. I
but
like
as
it.
Soon as they announce this Money in the Bank women's match, they're like, okay, every woman for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
No, I'm okay with that too. I guess. But it's
if
still.
If we are in like December and these three are hanging out, be like, the Welcoming Committee shirt.
If this
like,
turns into the female League of Nations.
Yeah.
Then yes. Yeah.
So.
Because that's how pretty much I felt. Like, this is just it seems like a random assortment of females on the roster that just happen to all be heels.
Well, I liked it because I think that did a lot to help cement Charlotte's going to be a face right now. Because,
sure.
you know, she should theoretically come be buddy with the heels. And so I like this, like, no, you're Raw. We're SmackDown. We've earned this spot on this show that we consider better. You can't come in here and instantly be on our level. I really like that.
Yeah. But that all being said, I don't think Charlotte's going to win the number one contendership.
No.
Especially since it's elimination, so, you know, shenanigans. I think it's either going to be Carmella or Tamina. And I'm not a big fan of that, but at least there would be a storyline with Tamina, because she used to be, like, you know, partners with
Naomi. Would rather Tamina win, because that puts her out of the ladder match.
Right. And
people like Becky and Charlotte, I want to see in that ladder match.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. That way, like, it's almost like a, you know, back in the day when they would kind of give a mid-carder a chance at the big championship at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view.
Right.
You know, just because they're, you know, they need all of those big names in the Rumble. Mm-hmm. And it gives, you know, somebody like Dolph Ziggler who was in that spot twice, 2 years in a row. Yeah. So. I feel like it's you know, because Tamina's also talking about how she'd never had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm pretty sure she was in a Divas Championship match at some point.
Maybe.
I want to say it was back when AJ was.
Don't know if that's true, and B, if it's true, don't know if I would call that a chance.
True. No, you're right. You're right.
Moving on to NXT.
Yeah, since we're moving backwards, I mean, clearly incredible show.
Mm-hmm.
I could care less about Sanity. I really could. Like, everyone beats them.
Yeah.
At least, you know, the final blow-off match, I guess. But, you know, Roddy Strong, like, he found a way to, you know, beat the odds or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care about Sanity. I really don't.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, but, like, blow-off match, like, okay, the NXT Women's Champion was a blow-off match. That was the most, like, oh, Ember Moon's not in this.
Right, and I feel Ember Moon was a big part of whatever they were planning.
Yeah, I don't know if she was going to win or not, but
I had a feeling that was probably where she was going to. But then again, I felt that at the last NXT TakeOver, which was also a Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah.
But that was a Fatal 4-Way elimination. I will say I like the finish of the...
I like the finish. I like, if we're going to make Asuka look strong, let's make her look insane strong. She'll pin both people at the same time.
I felt like that. The Women's Championship just didn't have the... And again, that's mainly just due, like, they just had to change their plans.
Oh, yeah. And they're like... And again, it wasn't a bad match.
No.
I thought all three of them did
weird that they're... I guess they're trying to make Asuka a heel. Just like that overconfident champion.
Yeah, it's not going to work for me.
No, it's not. Because, again, she's earned that confidence.
Yes.
Like, yeah, of course she's getting cocky. Do you have any evidence to say that she shouldn't be?
Yeah, that's not going to work for me.
No.
Well, that's like when Brock Lesnar's a heel, and you're like, why? He shows up, he obeys the rules of the match, he does his job, and he's entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
I'm cheering for that.
Absolutely. But as far as, like, the overall weekend...
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the match of the weekend was the UK
absolutely without a question.
It's moved into at least my top five, if not top three, of the year so far.
Yeah,
I don't think it. You know, it still nothing has come close to Okada and Omega.
Mm-hmm.
But that's gonna that's gonna be really hard to top.
But you write it down on the list to watch at the end of the year.
Absolutely. Mostly because I would love to rewatch it.
Yeah.
And again, like, it doesn't hurt that JR is on the commentary.
Yeah, it was incredible. It is almost disgusting how young those guys are and how good of a match they put on.
Mm-hmm. Tyler Bates 20 and Pete Dunne is 23, I believe.
That's just like they have years of this level of wrestling ability in them.
Yeah.
With theoretically, like, they have yet to really hit their prime.
Because, you know, you hear that from a lot of wrestlers. Like, you don't really hit your money-making prime until you hit your 30s, at least.
Early 30s is probably where I'm like, all right, that's where you've...
That's when you've got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's when you've
figured it out. You're hitting, like... So, these guys have close to 10 years of just talent climbing.
Yeah, just that. And then, hopefully, another 10 years of just money-making.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll move on to the NXT Championship match.
This was
it was good. I don't think it was as good as Hideo is capable of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, because then again, I also said the same thing about the Bobby Roode Nakamura matches.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to see a common factor in all of that. I don't want to say Bobby Roode is bad or, you know, or anything like that. But he's just, I don't know.
I don't think Bobby's bad. I think Bobby Roode's incredibly talented. He was one of the few things, like when I was watching TNA on a weekly basis, Beer Money was one of the things I was like, they need to try and snag this.
Right. He's also in his 40s.
But that's the kind of thing that I keep hanging on. Is like, he's in his 40s. I don't know. Like, he's really close to John Cena's age.
Right.
I don't know how much up and coming they're going to.
Right. Do you
let
think
him have?
Do you think Bobby Roode is going to ever be on the main roster, or is he just going to be NXT? Like the originally planning with Joe.
I think he'll be on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, I definitely see there's room for a late 30s, early 40s kind of guy,
mm-hmm.
Who could do a really good job at just being the final boss of NXT.
Yeah.
For 4 or 5 years. Bobby Roode could do a really good job at that.
But I don't know if he wants to do that for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I also think he'd be putting...
I don't know if I want to see that.
I feel like he'd be putting in a little more effort if that was the case. Because I don't think we're getting 110% his effort.
Yeah.
I think he is saving something for the main roster.
Mm. And honestly, it could, as far as this match with Itami, it could just come down to a somewhat lack of chemistry. Like, it could come to that.
Like...
Because honestly, because I don't want this to be an indictment of, this is just Hideo. Like, he just isn't the same Hideo now after those injuries. Because his match against Roderick Strong was really good. But, again, it wasn't a bad match. And I for as lackluster as I'm making this match seem, the last minute or so was really good.
Yeah.
And it was just, Hideo just beating the crap out of Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just... And it was unscientific, just shots at him.
Yep.
And then obviously, and I like Bobby Roode's, finisher leading into the finisher again. I thought that was a good way to finish it and just to show, how exactly strong Hideo Itami is. And again, I'm winning it straight off the bat. You don't really, I guess you had the redemption storyline, but that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
Where does he go from there? I do think, this will be his. I don't think this match was necessarily his big proving ground
for,
how he's going to be after the injury or anything. But this is the next run in NXT is going to be his proving ground.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see, what he's able to pull off between now and the next takeover.
But then we move on to the match at the end.
Yeah.
First, let me just say, Authors of Pain, really good job.
Yeah.
Constantly pulling it out.
They were starting to win me over.
Mm-hmm.
In the matches leading up to this, I feel like they've won me over now.
I really feel like, so we've spent the first 3-4 years of this podcast, however many we've been doing this,
mm-hmm.
I've just been like nonstop bashing Monster Builds. Monster Builds suck, never work, da, da, da. And so we have both Braun Strowman and Authors of Pain essentially doing a monster build, and a monster build in the tag team division.
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't even know if that's a thing.
Right.
And
I guess you could technically count in Asuka. Not necessarily a monster build, but she's, acting like a monster. as far as that undefeated for a long period of time.
She is the undefeated thing, but she's also tiny.
Sure.
Like, a part of the monster build is this guy looks so scary, how can you even think of fighting him? Which is part of what I hate about it, but Japan just looks so dominating and then backs it up in every way. I don't know. I'm
so
just
now,
very impressed.
Right. And so the match itself was incredible. But obviously the big thing that everyone's talking about is what happened after the match. And first of all, I want to say how well executed that was.
Yeah.
Because they totally got both of us with the, you know, the popping up the copyright thing on the bottom.
Yep.
The bottom left-hand side of the screen. They're like, all right, well, I guess it's not going to happen. And then it happens. You know, the Tommaso Ciampa and, you know, just ends his friendship with Gargano and beats the holy hell out of him.
Yeah.
And had some really good, like, just, it was executed really well. Because, again, like, the problem with all that is that whenever tag teams break up in that manner, a lot of it feels pretty formulaic.
Right.
Case in point being Goldust and R-Truth. Sure, it was unexpected, and I'm interested in seeing how what they do with Goldust from here on out.
Yeah.
But the actual turn on him and everything, it felt pretty much like every other tag team turn. Like, everyone's trying to do that Shawn Michaels through the barbershop window kind of thing. But this, I just something felt a little bit more. Maybe it was the table spot.
So we haven't, heard an on mic explanation yet as of this recording.
No. But I'm simply just talking about the execution,
right? And so I'm speculating on it,
right?
Which
sure.
And all this might be bumpkin and disregarded as soon as he goes on there,
right?
But so often we have this breakup, this tag team breakup with a heel turn, and then the next time on the mic, it's, you know, I never liked you. You were always just a stepping stone for me. Da-da-da-da-da. This was my plan all along, and now it's just time to execute so I can take one.
Hoping for a little bit more than that.
That is not, like, and again, haven't had the explanation. That could just be the same run-of-the-mill explanation, but, like, it looked like it was hurting to do this.
Right. Like, everything from whenever he delivered the knee to the little platform beside the announce table.
Yeah.
And then Gargano just kind of like ended up on his lap anyway. And you know, again, Ciampa played it off like this wasn't something that he necessarily wanted to do.
Right.
And even after he threw him off the table onto what we didn't know at the time was other tables. And then Gargano like just sat there in silence 15 minutes after the show ends.
So we have without...
Or Ciampa does, I should say.
Without doing any dialogue, just through pure acting and actions. Because prior to this, the big spot is Gargano pushing him out of the way and taking the ladder full force into the face.
And holy God, that spot was... That was the scariest thing I've seen in the ring in a long time.
Yeah, very much. But they have this shot of Ciampa watching that happen, like reacting to that happen, and he has this look across his face, and it's the best way I can describe it is it's like he's watching this sacrifice, and that, and again, I might be reading way too much into this, but just the way that this played out, that plus the end, he sees this moment. Of like, because then they lost the titles.
Right.
And you see him walking up having lost the titles, and we keep losing the titles. This is what, their third attempt at?
Yeah, because they initially lost it to Authors of Pain, and then did the triple threat match, I think. And then this is their only one-on-one try to retain it. Yeah.
But this is like, they're... Second time trying to get it back. Third time fighting these guys. Lost every time. One of us is the weak link.
Yeah.
And, like, then saw they're going to take that ladder shot. And so it's like this, it might be me.
Yeah.
And that terrifies. And it's almost like that's this, like, thought process that is the driving force behind this.
And then, of course, you could say that he's the weak link because Gargano made him that way. Because, you know, he's, you know, just... There's no place for friendship in wrestling or whatever. How blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
yeah. That would be a good take on it. Definitely better than the run of the mill. Like, you know,
you were never my friend.
I never liked
you. You were always just a pawn in my game.
Which, you know, to an extent, is kind of what Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho did.
Yeah. The thing is, you can do it well.
Right.
But that's what Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho did.
If you can do a good take of it, then fine.
That's how Seth Rollins broke up the Shield.
Right.
It's the kind of standard thing to do.
Yeah.
This is it, my time of my long-term evil plan. And I don't know, just something about that, because, okay, for example, the Shield went through a, you know, onslaught of a match the night before.
Yeah.
That was a match of the year contender with them versus Evolution. And you got to be like...
And that was at Payback.
One of them.
Or Battleground. I don't know. What was one of those?
I don't know.
One of the generic ones.
I think it was Battleground. But so, and then you're like, all right, so Seth Rollins went through all that that night when he was planning on making his move 24 hours later. I don't buy that.
Right. Yeah. It's like, if you were had that in the back of your brain then why put your... Because, like, it was the match where he climbed on top of the set of the pay-per-view and jumped right off the set. If that was the case, then there was no reason for you to take that, you know, take that jump. Yeah.
So, I like that this feels in the moment it had to be done.
Yeah. And again, we'll see exactly, because, I mean,
this is obviously...
This is the one of the few times where I'm actually, like, super excited to find out the spoilers from NXT, because I believe they're taping tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Recording this on Wednesday. But I will say, like, it was weird that there was a couple of names not on the card at all.
Yeah.
Obviously Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre's the big one.
Since he was, you know, the focal point at one, you know, of the last takeover, like, oh my goodness, you know,
Drew McIntyre's
here
in the building.
And same with Aleister Black, you know, he had his big debut match on the last takeover, and now he's on. They're both, him and Drew McIntyre, were on the following week, the episode that just aired today. But they taped it before,
right?
The takeover last week.
Mm-hmm.
And again, where's No Way Jose? We haven't seen him since WrestleMania weekend.
I don't know
where. Like, I don't know. Maybe don't they're know. Retooling him a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, because like. As much as I adore him, it is kind of one, like, one-dimensional.
I adore him. I'm aware it was a one, you know, one-bit thing going over and over again.
Yeah.
Don't focus on him. Retool Almas. Get that get that man a new name. Get that man a new gimmick.
Yeah, apparently he's really pushing for a version of his heel stable that he had in New Japan. So, I mean, again... At this point, I was like, you might as well just give it to him. Let him do it.
Yeah. And while we're at it, don't invest too much money in Patrick as Prince now. Gimmick.
The Velveteen Dream?
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, I watched his debut. Even though, again, like it's like I've seen him as his character like 3 times on NXT TV already.
Yeah.
But now he's got a name. Again, like, he looks good in the ring. He really does.
Mm-hmm.
But this character is just like, I don't like it.
The dude was on Tough Enough and he talked in promos.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not a huge fan of the, like, I'm a face because I got heart. But this is a dude who has heart.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, clearly he's a guy who's willing to go all in on a character. He's going to, you know, he's going to give it his all. So give him something a little bit better or more well thought out. Or maybe this was his idea. I don't know. And again, like, this, it's still something that's being worked on. We'll see. I don't know.
Keep working.
Yeah.
I'm
very interested to see what, you know, what's going to be NXT for the next few weeks.
Yeah.
I do want to ask one question, because I have a friend who is new into wrestling.
Okay.
But has been watching it with her boyfriend, who's a pretty sizable wrestling fan from what I understand. But at the same time, there'll be weeks where I get like messages on my inbox and just questions about wrestling. And one of them, which is, why is Kalisto not in the Cruiserweights? Why is he cut? Like, he would fit it perfectly. And I honestly, I've got to agree. Like, what do you think is the thinking of keeping him out of the Cruiserweights? Because I feel like as soon as you do that, he becomes a good, viable guy to run off of Neville. Because honestly, Neville is really only competition that's believably at his level is Austin Aries. And I'm assuming that feud is probably going to be coming to an end sooner than later.
Should be. They're on round three, I think.
Yeah, so...
So, possible scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
One, and best possible scenario, they're waiting till there's Austin Aries in, because he'll immediately be a top-tier guy. Why, when you have Austin Aries in there...
I figured that was the whole reason why they moved him to Raw on the shakeup.
Yeah.
In the first place.
And so maybe it's that. Maybe it's like we're just waiting, biding our time for when we have a good Kalisto-sized hole that we can fill in and be ready to go on 205. Other more cynical reasons.
Mm-hmm.
If he is a 205 Live guy, they're worried that his merch won't be as prominent and that mask sells like crazy. I think that we are...
But if that mask sells like crazy, then why are they relegating him to just like blow off matches?
WWE, I think, views themselves as wrestling for everyone.
Sure.
There's all these niche wrestlings and there's, you know, different styles often attributed to like Japanese scene and UK scene and Mexico scene and like et cetera, et cetera. So I think that they kind of like having the collection of the muscle guy, the big guy, the flippy guy, and one of those is the lucha guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they need the guy that does literally the lucha things, as he said.
Yeah.
And that's things like, I think they've...
And granted, they've got Lince Dorado and Grand Metalik.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of which have really gotten much.
Right. But I think WWE and Raw has always had a mask guy from Rey Mysterio to Sin Cara, now to Kalisto. And so I think that they feel like they need to keep that at least one masked luchador Mexican wrestler to appeal to that audience. That would be my most realistic guess as to why Kalisto is still not in 205 Live.
Because it just feels like he's been the big question mark ever since they've started this Cruiserweight. Like, even the Cruiserweight Classic was like, they announced it, it's like, all right, well, throw in Kalisto on that, he's probably going to, you know, it's going to be a Kalisto showcase, or at least we thought. Then we find out he's not even in the tournament. I'm like, okay, that's weird. Then he's in the crowd for the finals. I'm like, well, that just seems mean. Or I'm thinking, okay, well, they're going to start a show now, or a champion. Maybe he's casing out his future competition because he's going to be part of that division now.
But none of this has come to pass.
Right, and then you got SummerSlam. I believe it was SummerSlam. No, it was either SummerSlam or Survivor Series. The one where they had him go up against the Cruiserweight champion, and then if he won, it was when he was still on SmackDown. If he won,
then it would go to SmackDown.
So it must have been Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Then that didn't happen.
Right.
And then at one point, Sin Cara, they're like, oh, Sin Cara is now in the Cruiserweights. I'm like, well, that just seems mean too. Like you're just rubbing it in at this point. And Sin Cara was in the Cruiserweight division for like barely a minute, and then he got thrown over some presents by Braun Strowman, and he was never on the Cruiserweight division ever since. And just no. And again, like now he moves over to Raw, where the
Cruiserweights are hanging,
and he's still not there.
I couldn't tell you.
I don't know. And again, maybe he doesn't want to be on the Cruiserweights because he just sees the lack of reaction that they're getting. Because
maybe
Cedric Alexander came back this week.
He did.
And he should have gotten a hero's welcome. And Toledo just sat on their hands.
Yeah.
And again, like it's getting to the point where I can't even get mad at the city they're in anymore because it seems like nobody really cares. Like that was the whole reason why I even watched 205 Live this week. It's like, well, first of all, the street fight, which had a crazy spot to end the
it did very impressive street fight
that finish with I'm blanking
which one. Tozawa,
yeah, Tozawa doing that stupid insane backdrop.
Uh-huh.
I guess, well, no, it's not a backdrop, whatever it is, onto the table on the floor was insane. But the main reason why I watched 205 Live was the Cedric Alexander return. Mm-hmm. Like, is that's my guy. Like,
no, I did see.
He won me over.
I did see that, especially 1 week after your, like, declarative statement, I don't watch 205 Live anymore.
Right. And but now, then, like, Cedric Alexander's back. My dude's back, so yeah. I've got to watch now. And he comes out, and the crowd just goes mild. And I'm like,
Christian.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's like, I don't even. And again, we've talked about why 205 Live isn't working. You know, a lot of it is because they're at the end of a live program on a big network. And they think that they pretty much think the show's over. So,
Yeah.
There's a billion, and we've talked about to a great extent on exactly what's wrong with 205 Live.
I think it's, and this feels very weird to say, especially given the years I complained about SmackDown taping on Tuesdays and Fridays. I think the issue is that it's live. I think it should be 205 pre-taped. Like, give it a better name, but like,
sure.
I mean, but that's the thing is like, you put that, you make that an opener for Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
Just all the dark matches is 205 or something else. Or again, like we talked at length about modeling after the NXT model.
Yeah.
For this. But yeah, I think that hurts. 205 Live is the fact that it's live, and live dictates that it has to travel with one of the main shows.
Right.
And then dictates that it has to be after them.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's hurting it.
Yeah. No, you're right. I don't know.
We got one more thing to talk about.
Yeah.
So What Culture Pro Wrestling.
Yep.
The wrestling company. Not, I mean, which is obviously
What Culture. Yeah.
Attached to What Culture Wrestling. But they announced that, my understanding is they announced that they would not be doing their next string of events, basically.
Their which were supposed to be tapings for their show, which air on YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're canceling the events. You were
getting refunded.
Refunded your ticket.
They're still doing their pay-per-views.
Yes.
But yeah, they canceled their tapings.
And so the reason that they're doing this is because I'm sure if you watch any semi-YouTube celebrity at all, you will have gotten some information at least about YouTube's ad policy changing.
Right.
Specifically how the payouts work.
Right. And it is like for a lot of people who make their living off YouTube, a lot of them are getting screwed over.
And
but especially their new definition of pro wrestling, which kind of dictates it not being
so basically
categorized.
Yeah, this stems from a lot of things. Part of it is nobody really knows a good solid metric of
views to dollar.
Yeah. There's some estimates. A lot of people have been like, all right, so I get this. This is kind of how I figured it out. But it seems to vary from channel to channel. It seems to vary from day to day.
Right.
And then there is an issue with videos getting demonetized because they are tagged as not safe for whatever reason.
Right.
And it's videos that shouldn't be demonetized.
Sure. No, absolutely.
And so, apparently, wrestling as a whole has been deemed not safe, not appropriate.
Right.
Assumingly due to the violence.
Right.
And also, so they cited in their press release, they cited a specific video. It featured Del Rio, El Patreon, whatever he is now. Versus,
he said El Patreon.
Yeah,
El Patron. But okay, El Patreon is a very different thing. But honestly, that's not a bad way to start your Patreon.
But it's Del Rio versus Rey Mysterio, so fairly big deal.
Yeah.
Video had whatever.
Did they get a WWE strike?
No, they got. Well, I don't know what they got, but right. they only got $44 for this video.
Right. Yeah.
Which they said was like 2% of what they
used to get
on videos with comparable
views. Yeah.
And
not only that, because we're also getting a lot of videos that are, or a lot of channels that are getting their videos demonetized for them, but they're getting monetized for the publishing company or
right.
movie studio or something. An example would be like All Knots. They did a video where they took a chunk from Star Wars and took out all of the score, and it's just, and they added in their own funny sound effects and noises and stuff. And I think Chewbacca's voice is like literally just a guy yelling. Mm-hmm. But they took out the John Williams score. and it got flagged and demonetized and said like it was a copyright claim by John Williams for this song that was supposed to have been in that scene, but it wasn't because they specifically took it out. So there's something weird going on with the algorithm that they changed.
So I will say, A, genuine kudos to What Culture Pro Wrestling for looking at it as a business, making a business decision.
Sure.
That sucks, but I've seen a lot of independent wrestling companies get into a lot worse financial trouble because they're basing on money that will never come.
Right.
I don't know what this means for the future of that company specifically.
Right.
Hopefully there will be...
And you still, like...
Find a way to do what they want to do.
Right. And I haven't really seen, like, across the board of any of this being, like, a thing that causes YouTubers to just pack it up and go elsewhere or anything like that. Because it's still, like, the best way to get at least your name out there, even if you're not making as much money as you used to be. Because you got... I'm blanking on the name. The North Carolina wrestling promotion.
CWF?
Yes, CWF. Thank you. They're still doing their weekly YouTube
and
stuff. And again, that's just a way to get their name out there.
There are a lot of independent wrestling companies from your guys that aren't quite Ring of Honor yet, all the way down to your genuine backyard.
Sure.
Just putting it on you and your three friends.
People that weren't really expecting a whole lot of money to be made.
Right.
Regardless. So they weren't exactly living off of that.
But... Part of when What Culture came out was this big talk about this is a viable way. YouTube has created a viable way to successfully build and run a promotion.
Yeah.
And part of the issue is so much of the, I guess, joy of watching professional wrestling is watching this story being told over a number of weeks.
Yeah.
Which is just near impossible to do when you're a local indie promotion, because nobody goes to every show.
Right.
And so how do you continue this? How do you build characters? How do your characters build face-heel relationships with the crowd? And, like, yeah, they can because, oh, you're wearing, you know, a Jets hat. Jets suck. It's like, okay, we boo you. Got it.
Sure.
Not hard to figure out, but you are severely limited in what people expect from the wrestlers now. You know, I watch, I don't follow many of them like religiously week to week, see every episode, but like I keep an eye on several indie promotions.
Sure. Yeah.
And while I don't expect any of them to stop anytime soon, because I think they still all make 99% of their money on ticket sales and merch sales at the actual place.
Yeah.
Very little is dependent on YouTube. What Culture Pro Wrestling did.
Yeah.
It was very clear they did depend on this YouTube money.
Mm-hmm.
And other companies were trying that or were looking into that.
Yeah.
And this has really cut the legs out from under anybody who's trying to
make a living off of it.
Yeah. And build a wrestling company through YouTube.
Yeah.
Which obviously I will immediately say is bad because more wrestling is always good because it might not be your cup of tea, but it's somebody's cup of tea.
Right. And it's the more competition there is out there is what drives the content.
Exactly.
And it drives the quality of the product, we should say.
Yeah. I hope this is sorted out in some way. I do think what Culture was doing was a clear vision for a future direction of wrestling.
Yeah.
Being able to put on fairly, I think their pay-per-views are like $5 or something, their iPay-per-views.
Right.
CWF, since we're using them as an example, did the same thing. They had a iPay-per-view for like $5.
Yeah.
Which you could see all the build-up to on YouTube.
Right. For free, yeah.
It's a clever way to start to emulate this structure that people are very familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And they should continue to do that, but I do hope that YouTube fixes whatever needs to be fixed so that... I mean, it's just... It's got to be such a deterrent to be like, oh, and here's nothing.
Right. And again, like, again, YouTube is kind of the, you know, they're kind of like the king of the castle where there's not really, you know, they can essentially just do, I don't want to say they do whatever they want, but, you know, it is the go-to for any sort of video hosting for anybody. If you want to get your stuff seen, it's, if something is not a YouTube link, I'm very suspicious of it. Like, I don't want to click on it because it's not YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, granted, you know, there, like, there are alternatives like Dailymotion and Vimeo, but they're not exactly, you know, at that name recognition level.
Well,
you know,
and
where
they
people
also
automatically think of think of it as a viable alternative.
Nobody has tried to be poor man's YouTube. Everybody's tried to be alternative. Basically, to keep it in wrestling terms, if YouTube's WWE, everybody's trying to be Lucha Underground or Ring of Honor, where they're like, ah, but we serve a specific niche.
Sure.
Nobody's gone the TNA route of being like, we're just as good as YouTube, even though everybody can see that they're not. So there's nowhere for YouTube to instantly flock to.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's been a lot of talk about, okay, so where do wrestling promotions specifically go? My first thought was Twitch. So
honestly, it wouldn't, yeah.
You go there. Now, as difficult as it is to put on a wrestling show, it's got to have 10 more nightmares to try and stream it live.
Through Twitch, yeah.
So, like, I don't think that is a feasible option for several of the smaller,
sure,
you know, gym.
I mean, and it is, but it is definitely possible if you've got, obviously, if you've got the, you know, if you've got the resources to do so. But honestly, like, as far as, like, getting some sort of consistent pay structure,
yeah,
off of it, yeah, Twitch is probably the, you know, because then people can watch for free if they want to, and you've also got people who subscribe, people who tip, and however many different ways there is to hand people money on Twitch these days. And honestly, I hadn't even thought about that, but that would probably be the easiest, and as well as archiving what you've already watched,
right?
That would probably be better as a way to do your weekly programming, because again, it's more of like a pay what you will, you know, if you feel like it, but you don't have to watch it, to enjoy it. And I'm pretty sure there's probably elements on Twitch where you can, like, okay, well, only subscribers can view this certain video or something like that. And I'm kind of surprised that a lot of these wrestling companies haven't gone the way of Twitch, now that you mention it.
I think what it is
and it is something that is probably they're going to explore probably.
Yeah,
pretty
streaming
soon.
Live just has to be so much more of a nightmare than just filming it and then editing it and putting it up 3 to 5 days later.
Sure.
I'm curious about if you have any say in running or developing a wrestling promotion. Has this impacted you at all? What's your thoughts on the future? Because, I mean, it's an interesting thing where, like, there is this big mecha juggernaut of a company, and they do one adjustment, and then everybody's, taken out at the knees.
And basically, the only reason to use YouTube at this point would just literally just be a promotional tool, because it's the easiest and most accessible way to get your name out there.
Right.
Yeah.
So, all right, anything else?
Nope, that's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter. We live tweet Mondays, Tuesdays, every Wednesday, if we feel like it, and occasionally Sundays.
Yep, and if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classicringattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Get a new episode every single week. You give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that would help out the podcast a great deal, and we'd appreciate it.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.